recorded that there's going to be no vulgarity or cursing, which is probably going to bring this down to about 2 minutes and then we'll stop. Today, I'm a 100-pounder. I've been in OA since the early 1980s when I came in. I had a relapse for about 10 years and I gained 120 pounds. I've now been back 18 months of abstinence, and I've lost 87 pounds. That's great. But if I could have gone any other place, as my sponsor says, go there. If you can go to Weight Watchers, go anywhere else, go there, much easier, much easier. If you don't have to be here, do not be here. And the movie Officer and a Gentleman, they ask Richard Gere why he's in the military. He goes, I have nowhere else to go. I have nowhere else to go. In Yiddish, I have Beis Meshuga, I'm crazy. In Italian, it's agita. I have nowhere else to go. I went to Pritikin about 4 years ago. I went down to Pritikin and let me show you some pictures that'll help. And when I went down to Pritikin, I was looking for OA. Oh, it's not showing up on my computer. Okay, that's okay. And all I lost was thousands of dollars. I tried the juice fast. Everything was reliant upon my power, which was powerlessness. It's important to talk about powerlessness, and it's important to talk about, for me, alignment with balance with God. Some people call it good orderly direction. I'm pretty much an atheist, but when I was asked to let go in my first 3 weeks by Brian L., I belong to a lineage of men in Los Angeles who are all 100-pounders who have go to a sober eating workshop. That means I don't make my own decisions on my sobriety, on what I'm abstinent about. I work in conjunction with someone else. And Brian said to me, I'm standing in my living room, I'm really obsessed tonight. He said, ask God to take it away. Expletive, expletive in return, because everything in the men's table is if you ask someone to do something and they don't want to, they tell you where to go very clearly. That's their first reaction. Always the first reaction, maybe the second and third reaction. And then they say, okay, you've taken away more food. Okay, you've told me to do something and I'll try it. I noticed when I got in here and that I admitted very clearly that I was powerless over food. We're going to be talking about step six and tradition six. And step six, it says we're entirely ready to remove all these defects of character. What defects are we talking about? Selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking, being frightened. And we have to honestly admit our wrongs. So how does that work? I mean, with the powerlessness, I have back-to-back abstinence. I have a pretty draconian or pretty strict abstinence. Why can I do that? How can I do that? I have a power greater than myself. I bitch and whine freely to fellows. How many phone calls do you have to make in a day? As many as to relieve the obsession to compulsively overeat. As many as to I have to deal with the actions, the emotions, the behaviors that are malaligned, that are delusional, that come up because I'm not eating now. I've been in the program for years. Everyone tries to deify people after a time. It's not about that. It's a daily practice. This is not a one and done. In step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Again, it is about powerlessness for me to remove them. I can only take the action. I do not take care of the result. I no longer negotiate with broken Freud. Broken Freud cannot negotiate with broken Freud. I cannot, no more than I can, discuss about my food. You can hear it when you hear people talk about something. You can hear it in their voice. Are they arguing or are they letting go? What does letting go look like? Am I in the hole in the donut? No, I am not the hole in the donut. I think when we talk about, and the flyer talks about willingness in step six, I can add to that. Willing to allow God to decide what is removed. What I'm looking at, again, is a practical balance. I have to focus on the utility of step six and not my expectations. Goes back to the serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the willingness to know the difference. What's my role? What's God's role? That doesn't mean I get to control the outcome, kind of like controlling food. I show up for duty, and then God takes care of the results. What does that look like? Well, it usually looks like if you give up food, you're going to feel pain. I know of no one, absolutely no one that I trust, who hasn't lost their mind, expletive, before and afterwards, who gives up their food. Because this is a practice of not one and done, but a daily practice. That's probably why in this, for me, and I don't know what Bill Wilson was thinking. Bill, by the way, was a very flawed man. If you hear about his affairs and all that stuff, very flawed. Thank God. Thank God he was flawed. I am very flawed. I have problems that are all the time. I have emotional reactions, right, where I have to deal with being dishonest, self-seeking, selfish, where I expect other people, I'm very sensitive, I expect other people to behave in a certain way. And it's interesting about that. If I let it go, I find balance. Do I believe that I'll get what I need in the moment when I need it? Am I willing to let my tushy hang out and not look good, not sound good at a meeting? Sounding good means nothing. I only want to know what the experience is of my fellow. I only want to know what the experience is of going through the actual emotion of what I feel. I want the person who leaves the situation and says, that person's an idiot. Now what do I do with that feeling? Part of it, I have a feeling, is when we talk about removal of these defects of character, is to become maximum service to others and maybe myself in some way. But what does that differ from selfishness? I'm not sure yet. I do know I feel that sometimes when I'm, you know, in Chuck's new pair of glasses, he talks about, you know, people talk about whether they learn to love themselves and say affirmations. I don't think it works that way, no more than it did when I tried to love myself and wasn't abstinent. I just didn't have the ability to change positions without being abstinent. I have, sadly, a choice. I can have serenity, I can have food, I cannot have both. I'm an apple, not an orange. That is powerlessness. And so when I look out a vista and I see only rain because I'm eating, what happens when I start being abstinent? My vista changes. I have the ability to start looking at the underlying causes and conditions that I ate over. I don't know why I ate. I don't know why I'm an apple, not an orange, but it's important to know that. Once I know that, hell, the last 18 months, the weight fell off. All I do is bitch and complain to fellows. All I do is give service. All I do is when I have a problem with someone, as I did this week with a tenant, I turned it over. I let it go. I didn't ruminate on it. How did I get to do that? Why is that? When I use the word I hate using that word I, because it gives some connotation that I had some involvement in it. My involvement in it was 552 in the big book, where I ask for the honesty. I pray for them to have happiness, prosperity, and health, even if I didn't believe it. Do it for 14 days. I've done it. It's worked. I don't believe it. My sponsor tells me, do not predict the future. Stop predicting the future in all areas. The prediction of the future has a lot to do with willingness to allow God to decide. The utility of step 6, not my expectation. My recovery is contingent upon a daily practice, no one and done. Life has gotten better, but I suspect that spiritual axioms require my consistent attention. If I'm eating, I don't have that ability. I don't. A lot of energy. Talks about it on 86 to 88, when we start having an intuitive thought or action once the food's down. We may pay for this in all types of odd presumptions. It's okay. I can get to used to it. It also talks about in this step about natural instincts. And it talks about envy, gossip, criticism, self-righteous anger, lust, envy, all, you know, do I want all those gone? A lot of them give a great lot of flavor to life, right? You go into meetings now on Zoom, you see the person who's under the covers who has no clothes on, you'll point, that person has no clothes on. Look at that person, texting. No, look at the person that doesn't have clothes on. Don't hear the speaker. Is that part of it? I don't know. I mean, if I lose that, what am I going to become? I don't know what that looks like. I don't. I do know I'm abstinent today. I do know that I give more service today and that I appeared to let go of this thing that happened this week when before every expletive would be coming out of my mouth. I have a really good vocabulary. Something about recovery has made the vulgarity in me come out. It just does. I'm a truck driver. I'm right near Elizabeth. I smell the smells off the Jersey Turnpike and I want to screw someone up. I do. I don't know why it is. I don't know why it is. It comes at me and then I have to work my program on it. Do I create drama or harmony? What is my ideal or balance? That kind of helps me in talking about what God will remove from me. I'm not trying to be a goody-goody. I'm not really good at that. But I am trying, as Tim C says in California, to have comfort and ease. I must have that. That's a good test for me. If in my relationships, I don't have comfort or ease, if I'm agitated, it's more likely I'm going to go back to food. So in talking about that, if my behavior stirs up ego, and ego means I go back to food, really definitively. You know, I've talked a lot about, and we'll go back to step six, because step six seems like a conundrum for people, right? And Bill Wilson talks about it in the 12 and 12. He says, you know, if the obsession for alcohol, food, compulsive overeating, bulimia, anorexia, whatever your food compulsion behavior is lifted, why can't all the defects be lifted? I don't know that answer. I do know that when I have balanced that question, the change of vista, when you stop looking at rain and you turn towards sun, a lot of the issues with rain are gone, right? You don't get wet. It's no longer cloudy out. When you change vista, and that starts usually with abstinence for me, I can't speak for you. I can speak for me, right? I can tell you my abstinence, my sobriety can make you drunk very clearly. But when I do certain things, the reason why it's important, why a belly full of food and a head full of program equals a belly full of food, is because it has to be practiced. If I don't practice it, if I don't feel the discomfort of having my food taken away, there is no chance of me practicing something different. I can't get muscle memory, spiritual muscle memory, unless I'm actually working it, unless I'm actually asking for the help to do it, unless I go willingly. That's that whole point of, am I entirely willing? It isn't entirely willing, I think, to do the action. It's to ask the question. When we talk about tradition six, and this is an easy one, I think, an OA group would never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, less problems with money, property, and prestige, divert us from our primary purpose. This goes back really easily to ego. We've talked about it in this workshop, we use the word solidarity. And what we're really saying is solidarity, I believe, not self-interest. It's not the promotion of self. When I go to a meeting now, I go to this crazy meeting called Better Together. Some people know of it here. It's in Chicago. And it feels like it's a circus, right? But there's some good things about it, right? At first, it didn't have people who could share, didn't have abstinence. It made me crazy, right? It's okay. But then I started seeing that if you get tushies in the seat, if you get asses in the seat, people can, when they feel comfortable, they can do the difficult work. It may be the reason why some, you know, the men's group and other groups are really kind of bawdy, really kind of, you know, you go to AA groups, you know, that formality isn't so important. They want you to be present. They want me to be present. And once I'm present, once I can hear, I can do the difficult work. If I can't, I'm not going to. It has to be compelling enough, right? It has to be as compelling as pizza or as compelling as a chocolate bar. It really does. Otherwise, my mind, my voice will come back into it. And, you know, some people think, you know, you make a career of this, right? And that's what we talk about. We talk about tradition six, right? You know, we can lend the, it dilutes. My ego comes back into it. At the other meeting, Better Together, what I do is I was a host. I had fun. It was a bit of personalities, got people in the room. But then afterwards, what we've done is this. Once you're no longer a host, you help the next person, your co-host. And that means you do whatever's asked of you. And we talk, when I say whatever's asked of you, what I'm really talking about is ego reduction. We're talking about you fit in where the places are that they need help. And that the accolades, the things I so desperately wanted, I'm an egotist, don't make no mistake about it. I wanted to look hip, slick, and cool. All those things I wanted during the 10 or 12 years I was out. You know, I had a gym membership to a really expensive gym that I didn't go to ever. You know, tomorrow morning I'm going to be abstinent. Tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up and go to the gym. Then I'm going to do this. And then I'm going to get all this control stuff as opposed to letting it go, right? I don't have to do any of that anymore. There's nothing I have to do anymore. Between breakfast and lunch, there's a time period where I'm free. Relatively free until my character defects come in and I have to fall face first back into the program so that I can then get the next bit of relief. If I went back into program becoming an expert, getting the OA coffee shop going with purely gluten-free fare and sugar-free muffins, and it's already done for me. It's already done for me. Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob helping the people in the first 6 months and they didn't get sober, kept them sober for fun and for free. I love Chuck C's new pair of glasses. I listen to that all the time. He takes out the thing. He says, I wouldn't take me with a large dowry. He didn't like himself. Truthfully, Sam is not my cup of tea. I live with him 24 hours a day. I know all his habits. I'm not my cup of tea. But I don't have to focus on me. I get all the benefits of me without the mishigas by just letting it go, by turning it over, by having a higher power that I turn to. In other areas of my life, I do get to show up. My input matters, but not when it comes to food, not when it comes to running my program. I'm done. I had enough. And I came out of ideas. 10 feet away is the bathroom where I spoke to my sponsor, Iski, and I called him up. So I had said, there's this guy, and he says, I screw up this story all the time, and I don't care anymore. Just let me screw it up. And he said, how many minutes do I have left, by the way? Anyone know? Five more?
Three more? Probably three about more? Five more would be good. And then okay. We can do sharing. But, sure. But feel free. I mean, if you want to go on a little longer, that's fine, too.
You never say that to me. That's not a really good, I think, ask. Just telling you as we get to be friends, Kelly. Okay, so it's the bathroom right here. It's 18 months ago. I'm wearing my size 46, 48 stretchy pants because there's nothing else that I can wear. I'm getting stuff from King's XL or whatever the biggest store is. And I can only wear the things that I'm only incredibly comfortable in, right? So there's no way I can barely walk up the street. That whole deal. And I'd done the Pritikin a few years ago. I'd done the other stuff. And I go in the bathroom and I call up Iski and I say, Iski, do you have the number? Because I'm not going to ask Iski because Iski's a pal of mine. Why would I ask him? He's only lost like 175 million pounds. He really has and kept it off for 2 years. But I don't want to ask him. Can you give me this guy's number? And I know this guy walks 6 miles a day, right? That's my criteria. And he's walked and he's, you know, he's lost his anger. He's very spiritual. And Iski says to me, basically, this guy's been out for years. He's gained all his weight. He's about to have a gastric bypass. Iski says, he never said that, but I know he did. Anyway, and, you know, and I then went the next day to went to the Focus on Permanent Recovery in LA, Sunday morning meeting, which is now my home group. And I went to the men's table and everyone there was 100 pounders. And I gave up. I just gave up. When I gave up in this area, I was willing to be teachable. It wasn't the Winchester Cathedral experience. I don't have that. I don't sound particularly good all the time. I don't. The people I admire don't sound particularly good as well. I can make it sound really good if you want me to, but I have every day I have to deal with my character defects. I'm not there yet. I'm halfway. I'm a third through my fourth step again, right? And it doesn't matter who I came in with. I can tell you stories. If you want to hear about Roseanne, I can tell you stories about her. I can tell you about all the early people. I knew them. My daily today is about my daily practice. The reason why I hear sometimes, and it always pisses me off, I only have today, is because if I deal with other things, if I get out of the penumbra, if I get out of this space right here, I lose it. I just lose my recovery. I have to stay present. I have a hard time with the phrase recovered. I have a hard time with it because it gives me some, it makes me feel personally that there's a destination. The destination here is kind of like when you learn how to run or you learn how to walk, that the movement is where I get the solace, not in arriving at a place. The ability to start doing this work, whether it's being of service, whether it's speaking to a newcomer, whether it's helping your fellows, those things seem to, for me, to give me resilience to do the other work that comes next. And it also, I get all the benefits without having to focus on a result. When the result was ego fulfillment, when the result was losing weight, I could never get it. When the focus was being abstinent, when the focus was helping another person, all those things happened automatically, as if by magic. They are not necessarily the things I wanted. The connection between step 6 and tradition 6 is we're talking about a plan that is not mine by nature. Yet I get the benefits of it when I practice both. It's a magical thing because I thought I knew enough. I thought I could predict outcomes. My prediction of outcomes really caused me a lot more problems than I expected. Because then always I had my thumb on the button, always, and could never let it go. And like that broken Freud, I could not fix myself. Only in conjunction with helping my fellows did I see any relief. I'm really glad that you invited me here today. You know, I had no idea what I'd share. It sounded pretty good to me for today. And usually, as I said to you, I'm not my cup of tea. You know, if I have a choice, one of the big things that happened to me when I got back into program was that voice in my mind, for the most part, except when I'm doing other work, was silenced. And that really was helpful to me. I got a measure of calm that I didn't have before. That's all I wanted to share, and thank you very much.